This podcast was recorded Thursday, November 20th at 10:32 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like this week, Tim Ryan will tell us if he wants to run for governor.
Well, we're waiting.
Still waiting. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who vote their conscience when they have permission to do so. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, the biggest political stories often come in the days after an election. Isn't it funny how that always works out? But first, there is a lot to talk about this week. Now everybody wants to see the Epstein files, at least everybody whose name is not in the Epstein files. Ohio lawmakers make a move on property taxes, and those same state lawmakers finally make promise changes to the voter-approved legal marijuana law that also toughens regulations on weed light. First to the Epstein files. Last week at this time, Republicans were in a pickle. They were going to have to vote on whether to release all the files in the investigation of Jeffrey Epstein, the dead convicted sex offender accused of running a huge sex trafficking ring of minors. President Trump campaigned on releasing the files and then refused to do so. His name and his artwork kept popping up in periodic releases of portions of the files. He tried very hard to get Congress to drop its demand to release the files. But in the end, he failed, and the vote was set for this week. Seeing that he likely was going to lose that vote, the president changed his mind and told Republicans via social media that they can vote to release the files. That likely came as a relief for Ohio's 10 Republican representatives whose constituents wanted them to release the files. At least many of their constituents wanted them to release the files. But up until Sunday, their president and their party leader, who holds their political future in his hands, did not want them to vote to release the files. Trump's reversal let them off the hook. 9 of the 10 GOP congressmen voted to release the files. Congressman Mike Rulli did not vote, saying he was dealing with a family emergency back home. But the other 9 GOP congressmen all fell in line and voted to release the files in the near unanimous vote in the House to do so. Ohio senators were also kind of let off the hook. They did not have to officially put their votes on record because the House bill passed the Senate on a voice vote for unanimous consent. Now, prior to the vote, but after Trump's reversal, Senators John Houston and Bernie Moreno said they support releasing the files. Republican candidate for governor Vivek Ramaswamy, he called for releasing the files a lot during his short 2024 presidential campaign. But while running for governor, he did not mention the controversy until this week, when he said he, too, supports releasing the files. So for now, the debate over whether to release the files evaporates as a campaign issue. Everyone wants them released. But now we wait. The Justice Department has a month to release the files, but it does not have to release all of them. Classified material, documents which are part of an ongoing investigation would be exempt. Justice Department attorneys can black out names, certainly of the victims, but also perhaps the names of others. This issue is not going away, and depending on the names, the details, possibly the images and videos that come out as a part of this release, politicians from both parties will have to answer questions about them. The wait and hurry up Ohio legislature was busy this week. Lawmakers passed a lot of bills in one final marathon session before the holiday break. They passed new penalties for the owners of vicious dogs, and they mandate that Ohio prisons and jails provide feminine hygiene products to inmates at no cost. Absentee voters now have to make sure their mail-in ballots get to the elections office by election day. No more grace period. Lawmakers standardized kindergarten cutoff dates around the state. and they also passed several other bills. They were busy. The big issue for most Ohio homeowners is property taxes. As you know, a group is trying to get voters to abolish property taxes completely in Ohio. That could be on the ballot next year. So lawmakers have been working hard to bring relief to property tax owners before that vote even gets to the ballot. And this week they did just that, giving final approval to four bills lawmakers say will save property owners more than $2 billion over the next several years. Governor DeWine is expected to sign the bills into law because they match very closely what his working group on property taxes? Well, these bills kind of are in line with what this working group proposed. So maybe the working group did effective work after all. Anyway, again, we have to explain that Ohio property tax law is very complicated. So let's try to simplify it as best we can. Lawmakers have capped most school district property taxes so they will rise with inflation rather than with rising property values. That has been a big issue across the state as property values have basically skyrocketed over the past 3 to 5 years. Another bill, county officials now have the power to reduce property taxes if they deem them excessive or unnecessary. Good luck with that. County commissioners do have to wait at least a year before they can roll back taxes that voters approved. Keep in mind, these are taxes that voters approved, but county officials can now roll them back. Whether they do or not, we shall see. Those changes could affect future tax bills. Not going to have an immediate impact on your tax bill right now. But lawmakers passed a bill that could have a more immediate impact on homeowners. The legislature increased the owner-occupied tax credit for the next 4 years. They say that will save homeowners some $400 million, and homeowners will see that right away within the next couple of years. They will see it in their tax bill the next couple of years. To pay for this, lawmakers will increase taxes on landlords who own a large number of rental properties. Of course, landlords don't like this idea. They say it's just going to pass on the added taxes to renters, but owner-occupied homeowners will get some immediate relief with this bill that passed. Will this be enough relief to thwart the effort to abolish property taxes completely? Of course, we don't really know. But lawmakers, by saying we cut property taxes by some $2 billion, they can tell voters that they hear their complaints and are trying to do something about it. So we shall see. But this is meaningful property tax reform. Is it meaningful enough to thwart this effort? Of course, we don't know. But this is more than just a token relief on property taxes. Of course, the other side of the equation is how much does this affect what schools collect, what local governments collect to pay for city services and education. We shall see, as they say. So if you live in a home, you're happy. If you live in a home that you own, you're happy. If you like to buy hemp-infused gummies and THC drinks, or you're in the business of making or selling those products, you're not so happy with what lawmakers did this week. Now, it is not a done deal yet, but lawmakers approved a midnight compromise that will have Ohio match the newly passed federal ban on most intoxicating hemp candies and drinks. The drinks will remain legal through the end of next year when the federal law takes effect. And lawmakers promised to relax state laws on drinks if the federal government does. The bottom line, intoxicating hemp products could be much harder to get in Ohio. The bill also makes some technical changes to the voter-approved marijuana law. So that law doesn't change a whole lot for folks enjoying legal marijuana in Ohio. Now, the Senate still must give final approval, and the governor needs to sign it for this to become law. But it looks like tougher regulations on intoxicating hemp will become a reality. So until the governor signs it, eat the gummies if you got them. Just eat responsibly. We'll be right back.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past week or so. I always say the best time for hard political decisions is the days and weeks right after Election Day. That's why lame duck sessions are so productive. Outgoing lawmakers are free to be bold, and lawmakers who are staying have months and months before the next election, so hopefully voters forget what they did. Well, 16 days ago, City of Columbus voters went to the polls, where they passed a $2 billion bond package, they passed a new tax for the Columbus Zoo, and they elected establishment candidates for city council. Then, a week after the election, Columbus City Council announced water rates could go up by about $150 a year. They say the money is needed to pay for a new water plant. Also, residents who get their electricity from the city's division of power could see a 13% rate increase. So, a week after the election, water rates could go up. Electric rates could go up. Then there's the case of City Council member Emmanuel Remy. He was re-elected earlier this month, but this week, City Council voted to pay one of his former aides some $85,000 in a settlement after she accused him of harassing behavior. This was anger harassment, not sexual harassment, according to the complaint. This settlement has been in the works for months. It was actually signed off on a month before Election Day, but City Council did not take it up until 2 weeks after Election Day. And when did the council vote on it? When Emmanuel Remy was out of town attending a conference, so he couldn't answer reporters' questions. Now, it would not have mattered in the election because Remy ran unopposed, and he has agreed to management training, and he promises to reform his ways. City Council President Shannon Harden said it is time for accountability for Council Member Remy, so long as that accountability comes after Election Day. For, let's call it, shrewd post-election time management, the Columbus City Council gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to give us a good review, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. We'll be very thankful if you do. Speaking of giving thanks, we're going to take next week off because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So enjoy the holiday, please. And thank you for listening. For our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.